So everybody read this out loud with me. Are you ready? There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. All right, we can do better than that. One more time. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. And if you look at the top of that screen, you'll notice that that verse is not just found in the Bible one time, but is found in the book of Proverbs twice. The exact same statement of wisdom. Proverbs, as some of you might know, were mostly written by a man named Solomon, who is thought by many to be the wisest man who ever lived. He was obedient to God, and he was the son of a man named David. And David was a king who started off as a shepherd who killed Goliath. And God's favor was on David and David's family. And Solomon was the son of David's who would become king after him. And because Solomon was obedient and his life was pleasing to God, God said, I will give you whatever you ask from me. Instead of asking for riches or fame or comfort, he asked for wisdom. And so God gave him the wisdom, and he filled this book of Proverbs with wise sayings. This one, he wrote down twice. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. And this can apply to a ton of different areas of our life. But this week, what I want to talk to you about specifically is the area of hurry and busyness. Now, if you have your outlines with you, you want to grab your pen, put your outline in your lap with your Bible, there's a typo on it. There's a way that seems blank, and then it says right after it. Right shouldn't be there. So you can write really right, or like so right, or a lot of times right, but the blank should be right, but there's a typo on the outline. I'm sorry. But in the end, it leads to, if you want to fill in that last blank, what is it? Death. That's a pretty strong word. But I want to tell you the way that seems right to man that I want to talk to you about this morning is the way of hurry, the way of busyness, the way of fast-paced living that seems really right in Dallas, Texas, where you guys live. And I've hung out with you all long enough to know what it's like. You've got your homework, you've got your teams, you've got your friends, you've got your family, and you're in the suburban, going place to place, eating on the run, staying up late, getting up early, working hard. And there's a way, that way seems really right. Boy, if I don't keep up with the pace, I'm not doing something right. But I will tell you that that is one of the ways that seems right to man, but in the end, it can lead to death. Now, you guys are too young to drive. Has anybody ever had their parents ever let them drive? What? Are you kidding me? That's like 98% of the room, according to my calculations. Hey, I'm a nerd. Are you, what? What? We might just need to change the talk to don't kill me by driving. Oh my goodness. Has anybody ever driven on a road that has a stoplight? Raise your hand there. Oh gosh. I'm not leaving the house. Well, I don't know what you've been taught about driving, but one of the things they teach you in driver school is that there's these lights, and one of them's green, and one of them's red, and the other one is yellow. And yellow means, hey, it's about to turn red. No, it doesn't mean speed up. See, what they teach you is it means caution, it's about to turn red, slow down, get ready to stop. But what I've learned is that most people take that to mean put the pedal to the metal. Now, there's other lights, like these ones where there's four of them, and they're all red, and these two flash, and these two flash, and there's this noise that goes ding, 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 and those lights flash. That also means caution, but it also means a train's about to hit you. But sometimes, when I'm pulling up to a yellow light, and I see it turn yellow, I don't exercise caution. I push down the gas, and I rush through it because we're moving fast, and that's the way that seems right to man. Sometimes, if I'm in a hurry and I'm coming up to a railroad crossing, and it's just the lights dinging, and the little arms haven't quite come down all the way yet, I might move over to the middle and try to squeeze through that bad boy. I know the train's a little ways off. But I'll tell you, even though that way seems right, in the end, it could lead to death. our lives are fast and our lives are furious. And there's a movie called Fast and Furious that sums up the pace of life that we live. And I took a clip from this movie I want to show you in a second. And I also took a song by one of my favorite bands called the David Crowder Band. And they sing a song, it's a 2-minute song on their album, and it's called the Be Quiet Interlude. And the lyrics of the song are simple. It says, be more quiet now. And I'm going to show you the way that seems right to man in this movie, Fast and Furious. But I'm going to show you God's way through the sounds that you're hearing, saying, be more quiet now. And I want you to watch this video, and we're going to talk about it for about 10 minutes. They beat the train, didn't they? But then what happened? Death. He didn't die. He would have in real life, though. He hit a truck. And here's what I want to communicate to you guys. We can turn on all the lights but the first row now. You guys can maintain a certain pace of life for a long time. You're young, you have a lot of energy, you're very resilient. You can keep up the fast pace. Let's do the one more, just not the front one, because I want to be able to see everybody's faces. There we go, yeah. You guys can keep it up. You can beat the train. You can get to where I've got 4 tests this week, and I've got 2 soccer games, and I've got all this stuff I have to do, piano recital, and my grandma died, and I got to go to her funeral. And I got to do all those things in 1 week. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? Yeah. And you can do it, and you can beat the train that week, and you can make it. But the truth I want to share with you guys, and this truth is a reality from my own life, is that you can keep up a pace so long, but sooner or later, the time is going to come, guys. Listen to this. This is from years more than you have experience. The time is going to come when you're going to crash. And there's a way that seems right to man. But in the end, it leads to death. And I want to steer you clear of that path. There's a prophet named Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 6:16, we don't have the scripture up there, but he tells his people, he says, listen, you stand at the crossroads, and you look, and you ask where the ancient paths are. You ask where the good way is, and you walk in it. And if you're facing a crossroads, you're going, okay, I'm gonna get more busy down this path, or I'm gonna get less busy down this path. If I were gonna tell you the good way to walk in it, if you were to ask me, I would say, go the less busy path. That doesn't mean you have to quit all your sports, all your activities, all the things you do. You don't have to quit your homework. I'm not telling you that. Mom, David said, can't be busy, shouldn't do homework. Now, what I'm saying is that you have to find a way to slow down your life and be more quiet now, or else you will crash in the future. And because I love you, I want to protect you and to keep you from that harm. And so what I want to teach you this morning, I think you get the point. Last week, you got the point when I asked you if you felt like you were overcommitted, if you felt like you were overscheduled, if you felt like you were overstressed. Almost everybody raised their hand. Stressed out 6th, 7th, and 8th graders? That's nuts, but that's the reality of what we're living in. And so if you want to get underwhelmed because you've been overwhelmed lately, I'm going to tell you how you can be more quiet now. And I'm going to use the word quiet, and I'm going to give you 5 things so you can remember these things using the word quiet. And next Sunday, like I said, we are canceling church, and we are going to tell you to be more quiet. And so I want you to take these notes. If you don't take notes here, I'm going to put them on the website. I want you to get them. I want you to take them with you. I want you to print them off. And next Sunday morning, I want you to get up, maybe sleep in a little bit more than normal. That'll be nice. Rest. But then I want you to get up, and I want you to follow these 5 things and learn what it's like and how great it is to be quiet and slow down. All right, here we go. Let's go through the word quiet. Q, first thing you got to do to be more quiet. And the first thing I want you to do next Sunday morning is to quit everything else besides being quiet. Just quit everything. Whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your plate, quit it. Quit it. Whatever chores you have, quit it for that time. Just that time, Sunday morning. You just say, I have to quit everything. I'm going to quit the browser. It's X'd out. I'm going to quit the TV. It's turned off. I'm going to quit the homework. It's put away in my backpack. I'm going to quit the family. They're in the other room because I'm going to find a spot where I'm by myself. I'm going to quit the chores. They can wait for a couple hours. I'm going to quit everything else. You have my permission next Sunday morning and the times that you need to stop and slow down and spend some time being quiet with the Lord. You have my permission, even my command, to quit everything. Doesn't that sound nice? You can just say, I quit it. Quit everything else. This is what we talked about last week, this verse from Mark 6:31. Jesus told his disciples, there were so many people coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat. So here's what he says to them. He says, you guys come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Quit serving all these people. Quit answering all their questions about me. You guys, you're my disciples. You have my permission, Jesus said, to quit and come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so what you got to do, if you're at your house or whatever it is, you've got to find a place that's quiet. I don't care if you have 6 or 7 brothers and sisters, you find it. You find it, and you quit everything else, and you find a quiet place. Got the cue? Quit. Cue, quit. Got it? You, the next thing you need to do is understand the Bible. God will quiet your soul and your heart and give you rest when you understand the Bible. Now notice I said understand the Bible. I didn't just say that because I needed a you word. You don't just read your Bible. If you want to rest in the Lord, you've got to understand your Bible. I want to show you a verse from the book of Psalms where David showed us what it was like when he was writing the psalm to understand the Bible. He says, let's pull that up here. I'll read it off the screen instead of off my sheet. You have the next slide. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. The word meditate there is a similar word to the word chew. And I'm going to savor it. I'm going to chew on it. What I want you guys to do to help you understand the Bible is 2 things. One is I want you to pick something you can understand. If you want to jot this down, I think you guys can understand the book of Philippians. And I think you could understand some stuff out of the book of Psalms. So pick up one of those if you don't know where to start, or you could read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But try Philippians. It's short, and you could read through it. But I want you to read and read it until you understand it. So if you have to read it again, read it again. But you've got to quit everything else and then take some time, not the whole time. I'm not telling you for 2 hours next Sunday to just read the Bible over and over. But you need to read it until you understand what you're reading. You might only read a paragraph. You also have my permission to only read a paragraph of the Bible. You don't even have to read a whole chapter. But you read until you find something you understand. And you understand what God is trying to say to you in the Bible. And you let Him talk to you before you start talking to Him. So you quit everything you're doing. Quit it all. And then understand the Bible. If you need more help with knowing what to read or where to start or what to do, you can ask your small group leader. You can send me an email at church. I'd love to give you advice and help you out with that. That is always a question I will answer and spend time with if someone's saying, how do I know God better through the Bible? So you quit everything else. You understand the Bible. And then, this is a tough one, you inspect your life. You inspect your life. Psalm 139, here's what David says again. We're going to go back to something he says. David says to God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Last Monday, you know what I did? I did what we're going to do again next Sunday. And I took off at about 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I quit everything I was doing. I quit the rest of my life for, 5 hours, and I found a quiet place to rest with Jesus. I opened up my Bible, and I read it till I understood it, and then I inspected my life. For me, I'll just tell you what I did, is I decided I felt like I was pouring out too much of myself to too many different people, and I wasn't getting filled up. And so what I did was I wrote down everything in my life I felt like I was trying to give to. And then I wrote down a list of those things ranked on how much I was giving to each one. And then I made another list of what I felt like God wanted me to give my life to. And I inspected a big, broad spectrum of my life. And I put it down under the microscope. What you guys could do is you could ask God, say, okay, God, search me, know me, see what I'm anxious about, see if I'm doing anything wrong, if there's any offensive way in me. Tell me where I need to grow and change. And I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, it was making that list of all the things I'm given to and where am I pouring out most and where do I want to pour out more and less and switch it around. You might need to go, hey, God, who are the people I'm hanging out with? What are the things that I'm putting into my thoughts and my minds? But you need to take some time to inspect your life. Some of you, that's a totally foreign concept. It doesn't make sense and it might sound really scary. But that will help you rest when you really know yourself. So quit everything else. Understand the Bible. Inspect your life. This next one's a fun one. Establish a memory. What I did was I made those lists. And I made them in my journal. I wrote them down. And then I went home and I typed them up. And so now I have them saved on my computer. And I can look at them and I can tweak it and I can change it around. I can show other people. I can email it to them. And I established a memory of that time with God. Now, other times I've done other things. There have been times that I have been out taking a walk with the Lord, spending some time with Him in nature, and I have learned something about God through creation, and I have taken something like a pine cone, or as silly as it sounds, like a big rock, as a memory of that time out in that nature. It doesn't have to be a list or a record of something you've journaled or written down. That's probably the easiest thing to do to establish a memory. But there are other things you can do to establish a memory. Right here on my left ankle, I have this little anklet. It's this, see that brown and yellow thing sticking out there? I'm doing a little scale while I'm showing that to you. I've had that anklet on for 2.5 years now. Because that is a memory of a time that I shared with the Lord. And I put that on there and established a memory. And every time I look at that, this was a time when I spent some time encouraging some other people and asking them to encourage me. And we sat around and we encouraged each other for hours. And we just told each other good things about each other. Boom, 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 boom. And so now every time I wear that, I remember the time I was encouraged by those guys and the way I encouraged them. And I'm reminded every time I see that on my ankle to encourage other people. And I established a memory there. So what I want you guys to do with your time next Sunday is quit everything else. Take some time to understand your Bible, then inspect your life. Where are you in your walk with Christ? What could change? How could you grow? What do you need to stop doing that you're doing? What do you need to start doing that you're not doing? And then establish a memory of what you've learned from understanding the Bible and inspecting your life. You guys understand where we're going with this? And the last one, the T, is take action. Take action. Whatever God teaches you from understanding the Bible and from your inspection of your life, and once you establish a memory of that time, now you've got to apply and put into action what you've learned. So what I'm in the process of doing from my time on Monday is I'm having to adjust my priorities and change my schedule on where I'm focusing my attention and my energy and my time. That's one result that I'm doing. And I'm also sharing what I learned with other people and asking me to help, or asking them to help me. And so whatever it is that God teaches you next Sunday, you've got to take action. Q, quit everything you're doing. You understand the Bible. I, inspect your life. E, establish a memory. And T, take action. I want to end with one more Bible verse. Jesus says this. He says, come to me. We can click the next slide, Ryan. Thank you. One more. Space bar. There we go. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I know some of you guys are tired. I'm not in school anymore, and I went to lunch at Forest Meadow this last week, and it was fun having lunch there, but I sure was glad I didn't have to go to class. I was, because that stuff wears me out. And I know there's probably a lot of things that are wearing you out. And maybe it's not class, but I'm glad I don't have to deal with all the social junk. People talking about people, who's whose friend, who's saying what about what and what. That wears me out, and I carry heavy burdens. And Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest from all that stuff. So next Sunday, when we don't have church, I want you guys to come to Jesus with all of your burdens and ask him to give you rest, and he will give you rest. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that we can rest in you. That's it. Would you help us do it next Sunday? Amen. Hey, we've got Pine Cove you still need to sign up for. New small groups. And hey, hold up real quick about small groups. Girls will be starting immediately. Guys are going to be doing something a little bit different, and it might take a couple weeks to get that rolling, just so you know, sixth graders. Stack your chairs and get out of here.